As an employee-owned financial firm, Baird offers advice solely focused on clients' needs, while consistently investing in their expertise and capabilities to serve those in need. More information at baird-difference.com.
Welcome back, my friend. I hope you had a nice off week.
I am glad to be back, Mike. Nice to be with you again. Get that weather. We should be enjoying this good weather. I had a busy week, but it was nice. But it's always good to be back home.
And here we go. We're up and running. That's why we give the forecast every 10, 15 minutes, because it changes. Everything jumps around, and that's just – it gets hot. It's humid. These things happen. So we're all right. We'll get it moving and grooving. But we do have our eyes on the forecast for Thursday afternoon. It looks like Visit Bloomington, the city of Bloomington. Everybody's going to be hanging a little fest. What are we doing here on Thursday afternoon down at People's Park? Looks like we're all going to just get together and have a good old time. This is a sign of nature healing, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up, Mike. I do encourage anybody who's interested to come down 4:30 People's Park this Thursday, downtown Bloomington, sponsoring. It's really kind of a follow-up to the flood, you know, to people who work so hard and have come back and dealt with all that, and thanking the people who helped respond and sharing the love of those who are there. And there'll actually be kind of a fun little, I would just call it maybe a turn on some lights kind of event that'll be kind of interesting and fun. But celebrating the downtown and Kirkwood corridor a little bit, and how everybody pitched in and helped each other.
Yeah, have a little music down there at People's Park, and we know all the stores and shops and restaurants will be open. And if you haven't been down there, it gives you a great excuse to do so and see the outdoor dining and what's going on. And as you mentioned, Mayor Hamilton, grab something to eat, grab a little shopping trip, and help out, because I know not all of these merchants got through this flooding unscathed. Our friends at the Small Business Administration, we know, at the convention center all week, 8 to 5 every day. They're here to help out with some loans as well. It's nice to see everybody come together. What has been the response from those business owners? Is everybody almost back up and running?
You know, their spirit is great. I've been talking to them. They're resilient. They're helping each other. They know that was Mother Nature pulling a trick. But I know that there are some who took a real hit there. So that kind of support from the federal government, Small Business Administration, the insurance that they have, and then downtown Bloomington itself helping. And again, we'll be showing a little new investment down there with celebrating Thursday to help try to make the place even cooler to visit. So people are, my sense of it is people are picking back up. There's certainly some injuries still being dealt with financially, but I think they're coming back, and we sure want to help them do so.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon, and your fire department stationed on East 4th Street there, and your police department, which was just across the street on 3rd, on that same kind of east or north-south line. We heard a couple weeks ago, it's just kind of wait and see once we get things cleaned up and how things move along. Any update on if that fire station is salvageable, or is it just one of those, if we go back in, we know it's going to happen again down the road?
Yeah, so each is a little different. The police station has been occupied the whole time, and the basement had to get emptied, but it's been remedied. I walked through there a few days ago, and they had to cut the wall board off, and it got soaked and all, and repairing it. But they've been operating out of there, and thank goodness, thank a police officer if you see them. They're flexible, and they're making it work to keep us all safe. And we'll be looking longer term kind of for what's the next step with that. Some of that depends on annexation and how we move forward with the department and such. The fire department is still empty. That station is not occupiable. It's not habitable right now. So as you suggested, we moved them over to the few blocks west between 3rd and 4th on between College and Walnut there. And they're actually having an engine station there 12 hours a day. And pretty soon, I think we're going to have an engine station there 24 hours a day with a temporary structure that'll be a kind of thing you might see at an Army base or an emergency facility, where you can pop up a structure quickly in a parking lot to keep that truck out of the elements and safe. But right now, people are working out of there, living out of there, and that's going to be the case for a few months at least as we decide what's going to be done. We're still trying to evaluate the options for that fire department.
And there's no need to hurry up and move things around 100 different times, so everybody's just spread out to the different stations, right, to keep it balanced, for lack of a better word?
Yeah, we got two big ladder trucks, for example, and we got one on the west side and one's going to the east side, so they're scheduled there. The engine, which actually moves faster, gets there quicker, we're going to have right downtown here. So overall, from the response time, I think we feel pretty good about where we are. It's just having to make sure that you know, we got living quarters that are adequate and storage places for all that stuff. You know, fire stations are pretty specially designed kind of places, and I don't think they're putting in a pole over there in their new place, but they'll deal with that separately.
Oh, that is funny, because you wonder, well, how do you get – well, there's not an upstairs, perhaps. That's the other side of the coin. Let's stay in the world of health and safety and everything else that goes along with those who protect our community. The Crestmont Park situation has some people a little nervy, Mayor Hamilton, as shots have been fired here, once a week for the last couple of weeks, starting before the 4th of July and last weekend as well. What, if anything, does the police department know about what has transpired, and what are they doing to make sure that park stays and remains safe for the occupants of that neighborhood?
Yeah, Mike, thank you for bringing that up, too. That's a very concerning activity. Anytime we have shots fired in the community, and particularly if people are wounded, and, of course, if somebody's wounded, you worry it could have been so much worse. So we're appreciative of that. But we have, look, this is not acceptable to have firearms shot off anywhere near a park. And we don't want them anywhere in the community. Our county is awash with tens of thousands, probably 100,000 plus firearms, so we have to recognize the world we live in. There are people who do bad things with them, and we are doing everything possible to find out who that was. Let me just say, we haven't been able to get a lot of feedback from the community about that. There are volunteer tip lines, Crime Stopper. If anybody knows anything and you're concerned about sharing it, please do so, even anonymously. That can be helpful. We've significantly increased the patrols up at that park. We have a meeting with the resident council up there tomorrow, I know, is going on. And, you know, this is not acceptable. I was reminded that we had an event, a shooting many years ago in Bryan Park, and similarly, we step in and say, look, that's not acceptable, and we're going to increase police presence, and we'll be doing that this time. And we hope we can find out who it is. There's a kind of back and forth that appears to be going now, so we're watching very carefully. There's monitoring going on, both electronic and live, and we're going to, again, if anybody knows anything about what happened, please let us know. Report to the police department or anonymously through Crime Stoppers. That would be very helpful.
And quick editorial here. This isn't a TV show. It doesn't get solved in 60 minutes. You don't take the bullets down to the crime lab, run the prints, come back, do the undercover stakeout, and arrest the perpetrators. It's not how it works. That time and money is is very real in real life. So if people are wondering, well, why doesn't that happen? I think I've just explained that. Am I off base in my thinking?
No, you know, this is traumatic for anybody living there and going through that, not mention the specific victims, and we want to do everything. We are doing everything we can to investigate. We will follow every lead, but it really does. A lot of this depends upon leads from people who've seen anything, what kind of car, what kind of, what did you see, what did you hear? And the more of that we get, the better. So it really is community policing depends on community policing. And we're going to keep very serious attention to this. And I hope maybe next time we talk, we've got more information about it. We'll see. But we're going to keep taking it very, very seriously.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest this afternoon. He checks in every Tuesday just after 4:05. And then obviously, when I didn't have a chance to talk to you last week, we saw that the council, city council, signed a contract for a private security firm to help manage the Switchyard Park after hours. Is that something maybe you're looking to expand now to Crestmont Park? Is this different because there's violence involved? Let folks understand how this process works, Mr. Hamilton, if you can.
Sure. I mean, look, you know, we want everybody to be safe everywhere in Bloomington, whether you're in a school or a trail or a park or your home or on a street or at a restaurant. And all of those things can involve different things. We have a new downtown ambassador, after hours ambassador, who's starting work today, and they'll be active with our downtown community, some of which includes public safety, trying to make sure everybody's safe. Our parks department has staff who are present in the parks, helping make sure the parks operate well, safely for everybody, whether it's a loose screw on a swing set to behavior that's problematic. And of course, the police department covers our whole city as well, and we're going to continue to collaborate. The contract that you mentioned, which the parks department engaged, is really just more eyes and ears in the parks. We're kind of giving it a try, making sure that we Switchyard, and I just went through there this morning. Oh my gosh, the green and it's aging, it's growing up as a park, and it's beautiful, and many more people are there. So we're just kind of calibrating how many staff do we need there to make sure everything works well, and so kind of supplementing with contract is what we're doing now. Could be done in Crestmont. Right now, you know, we have pretty significant police activity there, but we're going to continue to see what does it take to make sure everybody can enjoy every trail and every park and every street and sidewalk that we have.
And on that same point as well, we've noticed if you drive down Grimes Lane, if you see the bridge that goes across it, it seems on the north side of Grimes Lane there is I don't know what to call it, a community, a camp, an encampment, a tent city. Mm-hmm. How does that go on? Whose property is that? I've had people say the next time you talk to the mayor, let me know why it can't happen in there, yeah, but it can happen over here. And I said, no problem. He'll answer the question.
Yeah. So, you know, I would call it an encampment. They happen. We've seen those. Some are very visible, like that one. More often, they're kind of invisible and tucked away in different places. These are individuals who we are working with and our nonprofit partners who deal with mental illness or substance use disorder or homeless needs are dealing with folks. It's complicated and tricky, as you said, about crime. You don't usually solve it in a snappy 60-minute episode, and that's certainly true. These are complicated situations. But I do want to make clear that, you know, we want everybody to have a home in Bloomington. We want everybody to be safe. We also want people to follow the rules that are important to follow. That, of course, doesn't happen every day, every hour, but we're working to try to assure that. And you got to give us a little patience. These are complicated situations, but we're working to resolve that. That technically, I will let you know, the Bloomington Transit site, which is immediately east of that, is owned by IU and operated by Bloomington Transit. Bloomington Transit owns the buildings. IU owns the land. The land immediately under the trail is owned by a city as part of the old railroad CSX transaction, though there may even be easements on that. But so it's a little complicated land ownership, but that's ultimately a challenge that we're continuing to work on. And I'll at some point you can ask me about some other new trails that are up and going too that I want to mention that didn't get covered in the press that I saw. But these are complicated urban challenges that we're working on every day with our partners.
Mayor John Hamilton is our guest. And go ahead and tell me about those trails. Everybody, the cicadas are gone. It's safe to go outside again.
Well, I know you're watching for that 7 line working its way west toward you. And it's making, I think it's over to Dunn and Grant now maybe or something as they're getting there. They'll make it in front of your window before too long, I hope. But before that, a little before 4th of July weekend, we cut the ribbon on 1.75 miles of new trails that I just want to mention to make sure people know about and can try out. They're on Winslow Road and on Henderson.
Yeah, that was your challenge. What did they make you do, push-ups?
Yeah, what, that's right. We talked about that. Well, it was a lot of fun. We had three teams who had to challenge moving a ping pong ball 75 feet using only some PVC pipe without touching it, and three teams competed, and they were brilliant, and they got it done much quicker than anybody thought they could. But we cut the ribbon, and I would just encourage you to look at this is kind of the adding to the 30 miles of trails that we have, but really terrific connectivity south to north along Henderson from between kind of between Bryan Park and Templeton School all the way down to Winslow, and then east-west from Winslow, which actually now you can go all the way to the highway, I think, on that, and it connects to the B line, which will the B link, which will take you over to Switchyard. And anyway, it's a great new path connectivity that people should try out.
Yeah, big wide paths, big wide trail. So there's plenty of room for everyone as well. So that always helps things as well. So there you go. The challenge was met. Well, that's good news. And
it was kind of fun.
All right.
So there were these rules created, and the idea was to have these multidisciplinary teams of an engineer and a planner and a whatever, you know.
Sounds like a joke. Three of them walk into a bar.
So the first team figured out, well, you know what? If we just hold it among all our pipes and walk, we can make that happen rather than pass it from one to the other, which is, I think, what was the design of the program. But this first team did it, and the other two teams are like, oh, that looks pretty good. We'll do it that way. And they kind of skipped and ran a little faster. So by the time the third team did it, they had it honed down, and they did it in like 23 seconds or something. And anyway, but it was a lot of fun, and ice pops were had by all, and then we tried out the new trail. So it was great.
Excellent. Oh, that's the fun part of it. And make sure those large scissors that you use to cut the ribbon go back in their container safely, please.
No injuries.
You can't run with those. I mean, you learned that in kindergarten. You can't run with scissors. Right. Your survey came to a close, the ARPA one, I believe, late last week. When will we get back that detailed information, or what are you looking to get back from the survey, if I have my dates right here?
Yeah, the rescue plan survey, the ARPA money, the $22 million, that closed right before July 4th. I think it's either up or going up soon. We did get, almost a couple hundred or something like that responses. We're sharing that with City Council. We'll share it with the public. It may be on the website now. If not, it will be soon, but I think it might be up now. And, you know, we didn't get surprised. There was a lot of interest in affordable housing, for example. There was a lot of interest in public infrastructure. There was a lot of interest in job support. A little less, because it's a little less sexy, in replacing lost revenue. That doesn't tend to be, oh, that's exciting, let's replace lost revenue. But actually, the end of this week, early next week, leading into next Wednesday, will be the introduction of the first round of that ARPA investments, and for 2021 that we'll do yet this year. So watch for that, and we really appreciated all the input we got, and now it'll go in front of City Council for them to receive it on the 21st and hear about it, and then vote the 28th, that next Wednesday.
Yeah, that's all going to pop up before everything pops up as well. We're going to get back to school on August 4th, and things are going to be flying together. And we want people to know as well, on Friday, July 23rd at noon, you're going to have a Facebook Live conversation about annexation. So that's a week from Friday. So we'll obviously talk about that next Tuesday, but we want to plant those seeds, because we know we have more meetings coming up throughout the county. That will be the week after that goes on. So,
there's a lot going on, isn't it? There's a busy place. But one thing we should just touch on too, Mike, for a moment, COVID and the pandemic, because as people may have noticed, the country has seen an increase again over the last week or so. And that is concerning, and there are some hot spots that are in bad shape, and with the Delta variation, with people coming back to school, it's just a reminder that we know how to fix this, we know how to solve this, but it just takes everybody, or most nearly everybody, getting vaccinated. And I know there's hesitation. We saw that in our own workforce. But I have to tell you, you know, we are not out of the woods. We've said that before, but there's some negative signals, and it's just so important. And I hope your listeners can all dig deep, think hard, talk to your advisors, talk to your family. 100+ million people have gotten these vaccines. It's keeping us safe, but there's not enough of us vaccinated yet.
And that's the point. It's affecting those who are not vaccinated. It's not affecting those who have taken that precaution. So that's the interesting part about that.
I know you did, and that's keeping you safe. And I know, you know, I don't want to. It's just, I just feel like I'm repeating myself, but 99%+ of the people in hospitals now, right now, are unvaccinated. That's who's getting sick, and the 99% of the people who are still dying from this disease are unvaccinated. It's not done yet, and it could actually get worse if this variant or some variant that we haven't heard of yet that shows up starts spreading. So, man, it's just so important for people to keep doing it. Somebody told me this story. Now, I was near Valley Forge. I was in Philadelphia, actually around the 4th, and Valley Forge, where General Washington and our Revolutionary Army drilled and got better over a winter and eventually won that war. And they told me that there was a smallpox outbreak, and General Washington ordered everybody in the Continental Army to get a smallpox vaccine. And there are people who think, you know, that was really important. That may have helped us win that war. I'm like, oh, God, what a story that, you know, sometimes you just got to take one for the team and do the right thing so that we get through this, you know.
And not a lot of us have polio either or some other conditions where vaccines have helped us. But, again, you can lead folks to water, and it's up to them whether they want to drink or fall in or do whatever else. Am I missing anything? I feel like we haven't spoken in a couple weeks. I just want to make sure we've got everything caught up. Is there anything on your agenda that I'm not letting you cover this afternoon? We know you had a good holiday. That was exciting. Now we're back, waiting for students to get back, waiting for school to get back. We've got annexation on the table. We've got all kinds of things going on. So the council's on break right now. Is that right, till the end of the month?
They're not formally meeting, though they have a work session, I think, Friday, but they pick it back up on the 21st, and you know, this is a great time of summertime. There, as you said, there's a lot going on, and we'll have a busy fall, and there's this pandemic kind of lurking around us, but it's a great time. There's movies in the parks, there's concerts in the parks. Please get out and enjoy that. And because before you know it, it's going to feel busy again, won't it, when all the students are back?
Can't wait to have a little bit normalcy and get the town filling back up again. All right, we'll see you. What time is the block party start downtown?
4:30.
The social, the downtown social. I'll have to find one of those things to tape to my back. Maybe I'll walk down there and be a mobile unit and see what's going on.
Yeah, come on, bring your show down there, man. We'll do it.
Now, if you get Mother Nature to cooperate, electricity and water are not friends.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But great. Have fun down there on Thursday. We'll hear from Don Griffin before he heads down there. He'll join us, the deputy mayor, Thursday afternoon. We'll get caught up on all the issues as well. Thank you for your time, Mr. Mayor. Good to have you back, and we'll talk next Tuesday.
Always good to be with you and your listeners, Mike. Thanks a bunch.